This podcast is meant for mature audiences only and contains strong sexual language.
This is the Black and Kinky Lifestyle. With the bar and the bell.
All right. All right, welcome to the Black and Kinky Lifestyle podcast. This is the Bomber.
And the Bell.
And we have another episode coming straight at you from the Bomber and the Bell. And today, what the hell are we going to talk about? What is our main topic of the day?
Herpes.
Okay.
I looked at the computer and said herpes. So
anyway, we're going to talk about STDs because we've been trying to talk about this for a while. And I think I was listening to an episode of Sex Uninterrupted, and they had a great episode on the topic. And I think that when it comes to STDs, there are certain facts and there are certain truths that we just have to accept. Yeah. And we also have to sort of think about the kinds of things that we're going to choose to be worried about, because there's a lot of risks we take every day and we just don't worry about those. But like, you talk to people who are in the lifestyle and ask them, well, are you giving other people oral sex? I'm like,
yes.
Yeah. We are doing a lot of oral sex. I've licked a lot of clits in my day.
Definitely sucked a lot of dicks.
Yep, lots of them. And they're like, oh my gosh, are you like using condoms or dental dams while you're doing that?
Nope.
Hell motherfucking no. Dental dams? I can't even remember the last time I saw a dental dam.
Like, do they still sell them in the store?
If they sell them in the store, it is probably the worst selling product on the market in the history of products that have been sold on the market. Yeah, I've seen a dental dam before. I've been part of circles that have demonstrated how to use these things.
I've never seen a dental dam.
It really does look like some saran wrap. Oh, okay. And it looks like something you don't want to fuck with. Like that's what dental dams look like. They look like shit you don't want to use. Like, this is supposed to be used sexually?
Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here. So we're just going to talk about it. And honestly, there's a lot of, I think there's a lot of fear out there. Some of it is warranted. Some of it isn't. There is some fear out there that isn't there that probably should be there. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to be talking about those things. But first, before we get into the topic, we just have, you know, just to catch you up on a few things, and talk about some of these emails that got sent to us. We had an interesting weekend. Last weekend, we went to a bougie-ass black party, because that's when I say bougie black people, I'm not talking, like, I don't mean it disparagingly, but y'all know what I'm talking about. Like, here in DC, we got a lot of bougie. We got a whole mm-hmm. bougie black collective out here.
Yes.
And it's a beautiful bougie black, because bougie black is like, yo, we're going to come to this, you know, party or this get together. We're going to get some fancy clothes on, and we're going to drink, and we're going to talk to people, and we're going to network. We're going to exchange business cards. But yo, as soon as that first line dance comes on, it's over. We taking off our shoes. We unbuckling. We are unbuttoning.
Who's taking off their shoes?
Bitches be taking off their shoes at some of these parties. I've seen it happen.
I don't take off my shoes.
You don't take off them high ass heels you be having on?
I do not.
Complaining
take off
about
my
your
shoes.
Feet all the time?
At a hotel party, that's different. But like, if we're at a vanilla event and I got shoes on, I'm not taking. No.
I don't know how y'all do them heels like that. Like, honestly, like, is the science of heels, it's supposed to, what is it? Like tighten your glutes or some shit? Like, heighten your butt? Like,
I guess so. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if heels are making that kind of magic happen.
They are. Like, I feel sexier and I can move differently in heels and stand differently in heels than I can if I'm like just flat, if wearing some flat. I like the benefits of them, but
honestly, Belle, you're starting to sound like how the boys used to sound when they used to get on their tippy toes to look taller, because that's really the only thing I see heels doing to some of y'all.
But
ladies.
It's not like looking taller. Yeah, like you can stick your booty out more, like you get more arch. Yeah.
And then complaining the whole fucking ride home.
Not the ride home, because in the car my shoes are off.
Okay. All I'm saying is I respect a woman in flats that comes in a club to have a good time is all I'm saying. Some of y'all chicks that be in those fancy ass heels can't really have a good time because you're stuck on your tippy toes. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Nah.
Anyway, we went to this bougie black party. I'm not going to say which one it was because I don't want to piss off certain government officials. But it was a lot of fun. They had an open bar, some snacks up in there, and there was mm-hmm. some sexy ass people in there. Mm-hmm. There was this one dude. Oh man, I gotta say, I was taking notes in that bitch because there was just these dudes were looking fabulous, fabulous. One dude in a fucking turtleneck, black turtleneck, had a fucking burgundy.
Now it was entirely too hot for that, but
yeah. With but the chain on.
Yeah, the black turtleneck with the chain on the outside and the burgundy jacket. He looked good.
Yeah.
Had the long beard.
Mm-hmm.
He was nice looking.
And there was some nice looking women. I'm sorry. I just needed to make sure that was mentioned because there were some bad chicks up in there. Too bad it was vanilla, though.
Yeah, it was very vanilla.
Yeah, couldn't do much there. No. Although I did have a little bit of an interesting interaction with someone while I was getting a drink from the bar. And it was pretty crowded in there. And the bar setup was pretty cool. It was like a square bar on each side. You know, folks could sort of wait online for their drinks. They sort of had a pretty tight setup. So I go to the bar. I go to the side of the bar that mysteriously is missing a line. There's nobody waiting for a drink at this side of the bar. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, this is good news. I go to the bar. You know, I kindly tell the person behind the desk what I needed, what I needed. And as I'm waiting for my drink, I get a tap on my shoulder from this really, really spunky young gentleman he was pretty spunky. He had a bandana on his head.
That was a scarf that he has had around. I don't know. He was looking crazy. Go ahead.
Yeah. He wasn't quite fitting the mold of the evening. No. Okay. Everybody was a little bit more conservative, a little bit, you know, people more were polished. Partying, but you know, nobody was like turnt.
Yeah.
He was turnt.
Mm-hmm.
And like he taps me on my shoulder and I'm like, hey, what's up? What's going on? He's like, yo, what's up, man? I got a question for you. I'm like, what's up? He's like, yo, you work for the Metro? So the Metro, I interpreted at the time, was like, you know, the train system, the subway system, the mm-hmm. transportation transit system in DC. That's what people call it. Mm-hmm. DC Metro. And he's asking me if I work for the Metro. Now, the thing is, I was looking tight. I had on a suit, a black suit. Mm-hmm. Okay. Had on a tie and everything. Mm-hmm. I was trying tonight because it was a bougie black party.
Right.
Okay. And he's asking me if I work for the Metro. So then I'm thinking, do I have on some kind of hazard like sign or something? Did I put on the wrong pocket square or what was going on? Because there was absolutely no sign that I knew of that said that I worked for the Metro. So why was this young man asking me if I work for the Metro? So then I turned to him with a really confused look on my face and I tell him no. Son, I don't work for the Metro. He's like, oh, you don't work for the Metro? And he says it like in a disappointing tone. And I'm like, is this man looking for a train? Does he need a Metro card? Does he need some advice on the best kind of commute he needs to take to work every day? Like, why is he looking for a Metro dude?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, nah, man, I don't work for the Metro. So then he proceeds to ask me, who do I work for? Now, at this point, I am pretty sure he doesn't give a fuck. Like, I'm pretty sure if you ask me, because I don't work in any field remotely connected to the Metro, so I knew it didn't matter to him.
Right.
So I'm like, I do work for somebody, but it's not the Metro. And then I take my drink and I'm, you know, quickly trying to get myself out of this situation because I don't understand it. It's very confusing. Mm-hmm. And so I'm walking away and he's like, yo, I'm sorry, dude. She said you worked for the Metro, pointing at his friend. Pretty thick, curly hair, but nobody I'd want to play with. So I didn't really give it a second glance. And I just kept walking away. And then I walk to you and I ask you what the fuck just happened to me.
And I was like, I know. But then I think someone later conversation mentioned about, because we were talking about the fashion in the room, about metrosexuals.
And that's when I was like, oh, this dude was trying to find out if I was a little colorful. That's what he was doing. And that's an interesting way to ask.
Yeah.
Do you work for the Metro? That's pretty neutral.
I mean, but what if his friend legitimately thought that you looked like somebody she knew that worked at the Metro?
that would be interesting. And maybe that's the case, but it's like, yo, maybe that dude had a name and he could have just asked me that, or maybe she could have came up to me. Mm-hmm. Why would she tell him, yo, see if that guy works for the Metro, I think I know him.
This is true.
Like, that's so random.
It's strange.
But here's the question of the day, though.
What?
What if I did work for the Metro?
And you say, yeah.
What if I actually did work for the Metro and he was trying to ask a different kind of question? Because I know people who work for the Metro. No, I really don't. But I could.
Yeah.
And I'm just saying, what if I did work for the Metro? What would that conversation have even fucking looked like?
I have no idea. He was literally jumping around the room, so.
Yeah.
It was just strange.
Having a good time. Anyway, there was another situation I had. I don't even know if I should tell this story. So anyway, after all this happened, I had to go to the bathroom. So I went to the bathroom, and the bathrooms are pretty small. It was just one urinal and one stall. So I go inside, and both the urinal and the stall are occupied. Mm. Now, the stall is closed, and the gentleman that's sitting in the stall is very clearly sitting in the stall. And you know, it's the bathroom, it's the restroom, what you gonna do? So I'm sitting there waiting, and you know, waiting for my time to get to the urinal, because I think the guy in the stall is gonna take his time in there. So as I'm waiting, I just hear this like really low grumble. It sort of sounded like
no.
And I'm like, oh shit, okay. Somebody's having a rough time.
Yeah. It's like, how fast can you get out of this bathroom?
Right. I'm just, you know, waiting for the guy at the urinal, who's also taking his time at this point. So then,
is he taking his time at the urinal? How is that even possible?
I don't know, but you know, I have broken some records with the consistent the length of time my consistent stream has been going in the restroom. Sometimes I'm going to time it, because I think I've broken a few records since I've turned 35. Anyway, this guy, you know, I'm in the restroom, and the next thing I hear is something that sounds like, oh. And so I'm like, yo, am I in The Walking Dead? Because it sounded like a zombie, right? It was a very zombie-ish sound. But it was such an odd and unusual sound. I mean, again, the restroom is the restroom. Sometimes people have good days. Sometimes they have bad days. This guy was clearly having a bad day, but that was a little much. Mm-hmm. And the guy that's in the urinal kind of looks back at me, and I look at him, and I'm like, I don't know, but you should fucking hurry up, because I need to take a leak, and I want to get out of here. whatever this dude is trying to do, I don't want to be here when he does it.
Right.
So anyway, the dude leaves the urinal. Finally, I get my chance. And then I hear another grunt from the man in the stall. Except this grunt is followed by whatever it is what he was trying to do, which kind of sounds like an AK-47 shooting at a large pile of wet marshmallows. So I'm like, as a reflex, I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, I say it out loud.
Oh, no, you made him feel so bad.
I say it out loud, and I'm like, holy shit, I totally said that loud. And and so I can't see the guy in the stall and see his reaction. So I look at the sink where, you know, the former urinal occupant has moved on to, and he's just gone. He's just gone.
He ran?
Yeah, he must have. But the thing is, it's not like I saw nothing there. You remember the cartoons, right? Remember the old cartoons when a cartoon used to run and try to escape and there'd be like a cloud of dust? There was a cloud of dust in the restroom. This dude just was like, I'm out. But I'm in midstream. I can't stop. And like Richard Pryor said in one of his comedy specials, niggas can't just be stopping a stream. Okay? You can't stop a stream. Once that stream is going, there's a point of no return. And I was at the point of no return, both sort of trapped in what's about to become an unpleasant space.
You gotta work on your Kegels.
Yeah. Some sphincter workouts. So I'm feeling a little embarrassed for him, because he heard me use the Lord's name in vain, and he knew I was talking about him, or at least that's what I thought. But he clearly didn't give a fuck, because the next thing I heard was,
He was relieved. He was relieved. He probably did not register what you said.
Man,
he was so focused on his situation that he didn't even hear what you said.
I mean, he had to be thinking the same thing. But you know what? As I quickly made my way out the bathroom, I decided I wanted to make sure there were no hard feelings between me and this faceless gentleman. Mm-hmm. And I said, good job. Out loud, and then left. Yeah. Yo, it happens. Mm. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
So that was my restroom story. I hope people weren't grossed out. Mm. All right. Anyway, let's move on to some emails.
All right. So we have an email from Elle. Hey there, I just found your podcast this week and I am loving it. I'm the white half of a professional middle class interracial couple. We have been in and out of the lifestyle mainly just because it takes so much time to find your place, but there's always that pull to try again. I know your podcast is geared towards the black experience in the lifestyle. I think we have always leaned towards feeling more at home with black couples because I have found that others who sought us were doing so out of a BBC fetish, and that's not a situation I am comfortable with. Okay, so I guess this is the girl talking and she white. That being said, I'm wondering if your events, etc., are open to interracial couples and if some others attend. So, yes. So there, even though if we do like an event with more getaways or it's a black and kinky meet and greet or something like that, it's always open to couples of all races and interracial couples. Yes, our audience is primarily black couples and we want to speak to, you know, our experience as a black couple in the lifestyle. But like we said, we play with couples of all races. You know, we don't have any kind of issue with other couples of other races or interracial couples participating as long as there's respect, right? So as long as you're, you know, respecting different couples or whoever you're engaging with, I don't care what color you are. Are you sexy? That's all I care about.
So first of all, y'all need to make babies because interracial babies are cute.
That's racist.
I'm sorry. You know it's true, man. It's like racist. Interracial babies are cute.
It's racist.
All right, whatever. I'm not saying that non-interracial babies are not cute.
It's still racist.
I'm just saying. You can't lie. It's true.
It's racist.
Anyway, yo, shout out to all the interracial couples out there. We appreciate y'all listening to the show. And apparently we have a bunch of couples who are interracial who have come up to us and, you know, have talked about this issue. I mean, there's no discrimination there. In fact, the interracial parties we go to are a lot of fun. We love those parties because they tend to be super diverse because, it's you guys are awesome. We appreciate you listening to our show.
And you love some thick white girls.
I love thick white women. I do. A lot. So holla at me if you're thick. Is she thick? Did she say she was thick?
No.
Oh, okay.
But I think he got a big dick.
All right. Well, that's good for you. But homegirl, if you're thick, follow up on your email. We need more information. No, thanks for your email. I appreciate it.
Yes. All are welcome. Mm-hmm. All right. So the next email we have from Wandem Supa.
That sounds right.
Okay.
Wondering Super.
Yeah. Hey, Bomber and Belle. I've just finished binge listening to your podcast on Stitcher. I found you by way of the Sisters of Sexuality podcast, by the way of Sex Because podcast, which I found by way of meeting Charlie and, maybe I didn't get those names, meeting some people at Hedo. I don't even know half of who those people are, but okay. We are an African-American couple that's been married for 15 years. I would call my husband and I vacation swingers due to our current professions and conflict of interest. We've only ever played or had sex in public at Hedo. It started out as needing a kid-free vacation anniversary, husband's 40th birthday celebration, with the initial goal of him getting his dick sucked as much as he wanted, since my jaws get tired.
Oh, same shit. Here, girl. God same damn, that's a lucky husband. Here. God damn. Wait, can you read that part again?
With it started off with the initial goal of him getting his dick sucked as much as he wanted, since my jaws get tired.
Oh shit. Okay, all right. I like this. I like the author of this email. Just go ahead.
All that aside, we had a blast and we're looking forward to future lifestyle vacations and escapades. Ooh, I can't talk today. One of the discussions we had prior to Hedo was our hard no's. I never played with a female before, and while I could picture myself kissing and fondling a female, much like you, Belle, I refuse to put my mouth on another woman's lips that also bleed for 7 days. My husband seems to think that this hard line will prevent us from finding people to play with, since I don't want to lick the clit. Can you two discuss your hard no's, why you have them, and different couples' reactions to specifically you, Belle, refusing to go downtown on another woman?
Yes.
Keep up the podcast, and I look forward to listening to you guys more as we slowly attempt to transition from vacation swinging to possibly venturing out in our home city.
Oh, shit.
So I'll address, I guess, the first hard no in terms of, and it's not a no. It's I haven't found a woman that I want to eat her pussy. Like, when I see a beautiful woman, wanting to eat her pussy does not come to mind. Like, wanting to kiss her, make out with her, you know, suck on her titties, grab her ass, follow, all of that does come to mind. Eating her pussy is just not one of them.
So you've never seen a woman where you were like, yo, she looks so good, I would eat her pussy? No. So I'm not even like a celebrity. Like, is there no celebrity? Like, you don't want to eat Beyonce's pussy?
No.
No? Mm-mm. What about Michelle Obama?
No.
Are you serious? Mm-mm. You don't want to eat the first lady's pussy?
No.
That's crazy. What?
No.
That's patriotic pussy. Why wouldn't you want to eat?
I have too much respect. Like, I would feel it's too much.
So, but you still think it's a possible thing. I just think that's
interesting. I think it's possible. Yeah, I think it's possible. I mean, I don't think it's impossible. I have not been in the scenario or with the person where I've been like, yes, I want to do this.
Okay. Right. But you still think it's possible.
Yeah.
Wow. All right. Well, there's still hope.
Now, in terms of people's response to it, yes, couples have decided not to play with us because I won't eat pussy. And you know what? I don't give a fuck. I don't give not nary single fuck. Because it's just not that serious for me. If you upset that I won't eat your pussy, or you don't want to play with us because I won't eat your pussy, you're just not the couple for us. We're just not the couple for you. This is just not a match made in heaven. And that's okay with me.
So I have wrestled with this a lot because I know we're getting turned down by a lot of hot couples. Like, they're looking at our page. They're looking at our like profiles, and it says like, yo, it's not happening. Women, the bomber will eat you out, but the bell ain't doing it.
Nope.
Like, you know, there's a term that we use for these women, the pillow princesses. Mm-hmm. And it's like a derogatory term, but shit, that's what it is. And so the thing is, this has frustrated me because, like, when we first started the lifestyle, mm-hmm. I was like, come on, Belle, just come on, do it for me. Mm-mm. You know, and I had to like search deep inside myself and say, is there a hot couple out there where the only way you could play with them, right? We were both attracted to them. Mm-hmm. And all I had to do was suck a dick. It's never going to happen. So if you can't persuade me to suck a dick, I cannot persuade you.
Yep.
To go. Like, I can't feel bad about that. Yeah. I, you know, you just, it's just not the couple for you. Mm-mm. That is a hard no.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's one hard no for me. I just talked about, but that doesn't come up a lot for me. So,
but we still find plenty of sexy couples to play with.
We do. It's, you know, I think it's a little bit more difficult, to tell you the truth, but it's not something. It's just not something we're going to change. So,
no.
It, you know, it's not something you should change. What you do, the thing is, this lifestyle is doing shit that you want to do, doing shit that makes you feel good. If the shit makes you feel disgusting, which eating pussy has made the Belle feel, I have never seen you so disgusted than after the first time you ate a pussy. Like, you were in the bathroom brushing your teeth so hard brushing the enamel off your teeth like you were brushing your tongue so hard. Your fucking gums were bleeding.
No. Yes. No.
It was like Ace Ventura, Pet Detective.
It wasn't about her. Like, she didn't taste bad. She didn't smell bad, anything like that. The stubble was a little much. It just, I didn't like it.
All right. The bell's not eating pussy.
Okay. So what are our other no's?
You're not doing anal.
No, I'm not.
But
no.
That's an easy no.
Yes. Yeah, very easy. No. So is not eating pussy, but you know, some people don't feel that way.
Yeah, but most guys aren't trying to shove it up your ass. I mean, that's just not really happening quite that often. Condoms, hard no. We'll talk about that.
Condoms are always, yes.
No condoms are
hard. Oh, no. You said condoms. I was like, what? Yeah, raw, no. Hell no. That's a hard ass no.
No raw dogging.
And again, I don't have any problems. Like, yes, these hard no's that are things that I have no problem not dismissing a couple behind. Like, I don't care how sexy you are. I don't care who you are. These are just things that we're not going to do. And mostly right now, they've been things I'm not going to do, but, you know.
I mean, come on, man. I'm not a total whore. I don't want nothing shoved up my ass either.
that's true. No, okay. Ain't over you.
No, I don't want nobody touching it. I don't want nobody licking it. Some people have tried, and no.
Yeah, you get real scared.
What are you doing? All right.
Anything else?
I think that's pretty much it. I think we're pretty good on everything else. Fluids? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Bussin' nuts. Yeah. You don't like cum in your mouth is not a thing
no.
we're
Mm-mm.
doing.
Not people I don't know. No.
Yeah. But I'll bust a nut anywhere. Mm-mm. Except inside a bitch. That's the only thing I'm not doing. So... All right, let's talk about this STD business. Sexually transmitted diseases. Sorry, just got unsexy. All right, so after this, we're going to make it up by talking about our hotel social adventure, which was very sexy. It was a good time.
Yes.
But it's always a good time. But now let's talk about sexually transmitted diseases. Okay.
Well, okay, so what's the difference between STD and a STI?
STDs are sexually transmitted transmitted diseases, and STIs are sexually transmitted infections. Honestly, we just call them STIs now. We used to call them STDs. Now we call them STIs. Now, there are some reasons why they're doing that, but we're just changing the name of shit all the time.
Oh,
okay. It's STIs now. there's a reason for it, but I just don't want to get into it now.
Because you can get the infection without getting the disease.
Well, the thing is, if you get the infection, like it's curable. Like it's like, I mean, if you're fucking... toe gets infected, is that a disease? I mean,
no.
You know.
Okay.
So I think it's just semantics. Basically, these diseases haven't changed. They're the same fucking things.
I like your titles for your category titles.
Yes. So I have my special category. Now, again, you know, when it comes to STIs and your health, you'll always check with your doctor. We're not experts here.
Nope.
But we're just sharing our perspective. And just, you know, I mean, I think there's a lot of misinformation out there. And I urge you to do your own research. But honestly, there are certain uses of language that the CDC and other health departments use to communicate the facts about STDs, and I think they really confuse people. And so hopefully we'll give some clarity to the confusion. So the first thing I'll say is that there are, like, the diseases fall into these categories. There are a lot of STDs out there, or STIs out there, whatever the fuck you call them. There are a lot of them out there, but we're just going to talk about the big ones. The big ones being what I call the big, nasty, but curable diseases. Okay. The chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Okay. All three of those are bacterial infections. Bacterial infections we can usually cure. These are cured typically by antibiotics. But they can result in some pretty nasty symptoms, or they may not result in any symptoms at all. Many of these STIs and many of the STIs we'll talk about today don't really cause symptoms, many symptoms. But when the symptoms do show up, they're fucking disgusting.
Are people still getting syphilis?
People are still getting syphilis, but it's much less common than it used to be. Mm. Like, much less common. Like, honestly, all of these diseases are infecting less than 1% of the population. Like, it's a really low prevalence. In fact, like, when you look at the prevalence numbers, they usually don't talk in terms of percentage of the population that's infected. They'll talk about a rate of, like, infection, like how many new infections a year, or they'll say the number of cases per 100,000. Mm-hmm. Because if you start talking about them in terms of percentages, they're very low numbers. Mm-hmm. And you might give the misconception that those low numbers mean that it's not a thing, but
it's just to put
things in perspective, 1% of the population doesn't sound like much, but it represents like 3 million people. Give or take. So just that gives you a few numbers. But chlamydia, just to give you some numbers, 1.7 million people have chlamydia. Gonorrhea, it's about 500,000, and syphilis is a lot less, with about 30,000 cases. Now, the diseases that are barely visible, I call these my barely visible, hidden, and super fucking common STDs. So fucking common that it's likely you probably have this shit. Like, mm-hmm. It wouldn't be crazy for you to assume you have it, because the likelihood that you do is super high. And I feel like we're not acknowledging that, because, so I'm going to talk about like HPV and herpes. So genital warts is another HPV, or human papillomavirus. Mm-hmm. Genital warts, and herpes. These two STDs have two things in common. One is that usually you're not going to fucking see the symptoms of this shit. Mm-mm. You're not. You know, there are some people with oral herpes that might have cold sores, and you might see those symptoms. And those with that have genital herpes may show blisters. But again, more likely than not, if they're fairly healthy, you're not going to see a lot of those symptoms. Our immune systems are really good at sort of hiding that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, HPV in men doesn't even have symptoms.
Well, HPV in men actually they don't typically show symptoms, but you tend to see symptoms again with those men who have compromised immune systems. Mm. So you know, back when the HIV virus was first being discovered and we were supposed figuring things out, what you would see is a lot of men who would have these really severe HPV symptoms. Mm. So if you look up HPV right now, if you look up genital warts right now, if you look up herpes right now, you will see a lot of nasty fucking images. Mm-hmm. A lot of these images have come from folks who've had other issues going on with their immune system that just really expedited the symptoms. Mm-hmm. So most people that have herpes, most people that have genital warts, you're never gonna fucking see a symptom. You're never gonna see it. And honestly, a lot of doctors don't test for it. There are some jurisdictions where the doctors just don't do it unless you tell them, one, that you have been placed at risk. You've seen a sore and you want to be checked out because you think you've touched it or made contact with it. Or if the doctor happens to see something that would alert them to an indication that you have one of these diseases. Some estimates at minimum have estimated that 40% of the population for both herpes and genital warts. Oral herpes, some estimates have suggested 80% of folks have it, and most of them don't know it. Genital warts, same thing. Most of the population probably has this disease and doesn't know it. Some estimates put it at like 60%. But it's high, and it's hard to assess who has this shit. So basically, that's all to say. Basically, what I'm saying.
Everybody got herpes.
Yes, a lot of people have it and don't know it. And
you probably got it from your granddaddy.
Yeah, right. The thing is, a lot of people could have gotten it by a kiss from an aunt when they were a baby. Like, you know what I mean? The oral herpes. And honestly, if you do show symptoms, it's very hard to tell where it came from. Maybe it came from the last partner you had, and maybe it came from the first partner you had. It's just really, really hard to tell. So I just wanted to throw that out there, because I think people are looking at herpes as this big baddie that, you know, oh my gosh, people freak out about that thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just, if you're fucking, listen, you are super at risk, and I don't care if you have one partner or two or three or four, you're at risk for mm-hmm. that shit. It's just, it's not something, so we'll talk about preventative measures in a second. But I just wanted to really put it out there. And of course, there's the deadly and incurable HIV.
It incurable now? Don't they have like some special pill?
Well, yeah. So they have like a preventative pill. So mm-hmm. if you put yourself at risk, you can take. I'm not remembering what it is now, but I'm going to look it up because I have to.
It's, I feel like it starts with a P.
Yeah. PrEP. Fuck.
PrEP. Yes. PrEP.
Pre-exposure prophylaxis. I was right. And it could help reduce risk of HIV through sex when taken every day. Apparently it's like a regular prescription.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Okay. So PrEP is like, it's interesting because it is a very smart preventative measure.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if PrEP is recommended for all groups, though. I think PrEP was specifically designed for men who have sex with men or who are promiscuous. But I don't... So... So yeah, I think there's actually been a lot of research on HIV that has allowed people to live with the disease and, you know, mm-hmm. take their medication. That doesn't include fucking 40 pills a day.
Mm-hmm.
Now folks have been able, if they've been able to take care of themselves, have been able to get by with just one pill a day. That keeps their viral loads down and their T cell counts up. But this is not a conversation about how to treat HIV, but how to prevent it. So let's talk about sex. So let's ask ourselves, you got two choices. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can either not have any fucking human contact with anybody, any physical human contact. You can't have it. If you want to prevent STDs, mm-hmm. you can't have it. Okay. You want to prevent 100%. You want to completely eliminate your risk for STIs. You cannot have any kind of contact physical with another human being.
No.
Or so that's not reasonable?
No.
That's not reasonable.
No.
No,
we need human touch to live.
You need human touch.
Everyone does.
All right, fine. Fine. So I'll tell you what, for the folks that are listening, if it's not fair, okay, if you're going to have human touch, you have two choices,
mm-hmm.
okay? Now, there are some diseases that you might catch, right? You can still get oral herpes if you, like, touch on the lips and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I think you're pretty much safe from the other things,
mm-hmm.
okay? But it has to be limited to that, okay? You can touch, you can kiss, but you can't fuck around and touch each other's genitals or finger or anything like that. Only kissing, all right? You want to masturbate? Fine.
No.
No?
Mm-mm.
You want to, so, okay, all right. So you want to do something sexual?
Yes, I'm going to need to get fucked.
Oh, damn, we already moved on to fucking. I thought we would hit oral sex first.
Well, you know how I feel about that.
Well, okay. Do you think you could live without having oral sex?
Yes.
Never. I didn't even think about that shit.
Didn't have to.
So just penetration.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. You see, you're one of those lucky women that orgasms through penetration.
Yeah.
Okay. But if you didn't and only orgasm through clitoral stimulation,
then I would have to have clitoral stimulation. I do orgasm through clitoral stimulation not with a vibrator, not with somebody eat me out. But I always, the end game for me is always penetration.
Okay. And that's basically what you're testifying to right now.
Yes.
And so basically you are essentially going to be at risk for everything.
Mm-hmm.
You're willing to accept that risk.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can either go all the way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And have unprotected sex.
Nah.
Nah, you're not going to do that.
Mm-mm.
So what are you going to do?
Use a condom.
You're going to use a condom.
I'm going to watch the nigga put it on too.
Yeah, that's right. See, these are lifestyle prevention measures. You got to see him put that shit on.
Yes.
You can't just see him grab the fucking wrapper.
No.
He has to open that shit. Mm-hmm. You got to hear that shit. You got to see that shit. You got to see him roll that shit down.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And then I better feel that shit.
So you can really feel the difference between.
Yes. There are nerve endings in my pussy and like in everyone's pussy, not just mine. And like the things, shits that's on your fingertips and shit. So you can feel stuff. So it feels different than like a raw dick.
So a raw dick feels better.
Yeah.
You had to think about that, man. You can't tell the difference between the two. You know, it's like night and day for us.
So the difference, I wouldn't say is as significant as it probably is for you, but there is a difference. When there's lube thrown into the equation, things get a little blurry, but.
Oh, see, that's good to know.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's some times where it's hard to tell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Niggas use a lot of lube in a lifestyle, Belle. It happens a lot.
I still be watching to see them niggas with a condom on them.
All right.
And like lube runs out.
Right.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
So on the other side, condoms for blowjobs? Hell no.
I'd rather not get a blowjob at all.
Yeah. I would rather not give you one if I had to give you one with a condom on.
All right. How does latex taste?
Terrible. It tastes fucking disgusting. Have you ever sucked on a balloon?
I have not done that, but a balloon has been in my mouth on occasion.
Yeah. Have you sucked on a balloon for more than like 30 seconds?
I don't think so.
Right. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It's a terrible. Balloon, it will make you gag. It makes me gag.
Balloon blowjobs make you gag.
Yes.
All right. No balloon blowjobs.
Nope.
Okay. So the fact of the matter is, if you're going to do that, if you're going to have oral sex, then, you know, you got to look, see if there are any symptoms there. And the fact of the matter is, even if you don't see symptoms, you could still be putting yourself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a risk that we're willing to take. And honestly, for people out there that are like, oh my gosh, in the lifestyle, do y'all use condoms during oral sex?
No.
The question I have for you is, in your lifestyle, are you using condoms during oral sex?
Mm-hmm. I think we talked about this before on another episode, but it's like, yeah, anytime like a newbie or somebody just vanilla is like wondering about the lifestyle, they're like, oh my God, like STDs, like, you know, how do you do that? And, you know, you have to be prepared. And I'm like, you know good and well in your vanilla fucking life when you was dating people and out here running these streets, you were not checking everybody's status. You were not getting everybody's tests. You was up here fucking bitches raw. Like, no, like, what? Just banking on pullout game. Like, you was still sucking these niggas off without kind of, like, why y'all act like it's something different? Now that we're doing this, like, consensually.
Right.
Y'all were not trying to be all about that life when you was out here in the streets fucking around single.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like the number of partners I have now are probably equal to the partners I had when I was single.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like it's not like, oh, fucking every weekend we got a new partner. It's
right.
I mean, some other couples are doing that. I mean, mm-hmm. some other couples are really getting it in, but they're practicing what they can. But I think, like, you know what I really hate about, like, the way the CDC publishes information and the way some of these health departments publish information, there's a reason why people are really kind of misled, because you'll see the CDC say something like, it is possible to pass HIV, it is possible for HIV to be transmitted through unprotected oral, vaginal, or anal sex.
Mm-hmm.
They'll say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so immediately you'll be like, oh shit, you can catch HIV through oral sex? You know, you can also get struck by lightning. You could also be raped by a bear.
God,
it's possible. It's very possible. The bear might be on acid or something. It might have fucking ate some bad mushrooms or something. I don't know. And you might be wearing a fucking furry coat one day. Okay? It's all possible. Mm-hmm. It's all possible. But what is reasonably probable? What is something that you really need to be concerned about? Mm-hmm. Truth of the matter is, yes, some of these diseases can be passed orally. The same way I could probably shoot a basketball from a moving car on a highway into another basket on another moving car on the other side of the highway. It is possible for me to make that shot.
Yes.
Okay. But I feel like a lot of these, when somebody just says it's possible to transmit, they don't really kind of go into, well, it's possible, but we actually have empirical evidence that most people have caught it through X, Y, and Z. And the fact is, when it comes to HIV, when it comes to chlamydia, when it comes to syphilis, when it comes to, what's the other one I'm forgetting? Gonorrhea. Mm-hmm. Okay. Unprotected anal and vaginal intercourse.
That's how you get it.
That's how a lot of people are getting this shit. And the other thing is, it's all about the mucous membranes, right? Mm-hmm. The truth is, I should say the partner who is getting penetrated,
mm-hmm,
is more at risk than the partner who's doing the penetrating.
Right.
Just because the mucous membrane is bigger. A vagina is more easy to get into. A pussy, I should say. I'm sorry. I should keep my dirty lingo consistent. The pussy membrane is a lot easier to get to than the fucking urethra in my dick.
Yes.
It's a lot harder
yeah.
to get in there. Uh-huh. Okay. So we need to acknowledge that. So I just want to say that, yes, a lot of diseases can be passed through multiple ways, but it's not just about the possibility. Like, there's a lot of things that can happen to us possibly, but do we really want to live our lives in that way? Because the only way to do it is to not share any bodily fluids with anyone at any time in any place.
Mm-hmm.
So we advocate for folks to use condoms during intercourse because it is a high risk. It's a high risk activity. Oral sex, you're at risk of catching certain diseases, but honestly, you're at risk of catching those diseases anyway.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you want to use a condom for a blowjob or a dental
fine.
Dam,
do
that.
Thing.
Do your thing.
I'd just rather not do it.
Be like, no, thank you.
If a bitch puts a condom on my dick and starts sucking it, I'm just like, hey, don't bother with that. I could stroke myself. I'm fine. I'd rather you give me a hand job. Hand jobs over fucking condom blowjobs any day of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Also, testing. I get tested twice a year. I ask my doctor. I mean, I tell my doctor about my lifestyle. So I'm like, yo, I just test me for everything there's a test for.
Mm-hmm.
It's never herpes or fucking genital warts.
Wait, what?
He's never testing me for that. I have a hard time with my doctor trying to get them to test for that stuff. But he's like, yo, did you show symptoms? I'm like, no. Then I'm not testing you. So I think that's all I wanted to say about STDs and all that unsexy shit. If a condom breaks in somebody, I'll that's happened once.
Mm-hmm.
I'll get a little paranoid, but even then it's like this small span of time. And unless a chick is like literally bleeding out of her vagina in a way where it's getting into your urethra. I mean, it's just silly. Like a lot of the stuff, it's possible, but it's just really unlikely. Like, dude, relax.
Yeah.
But if it's something you're really worried about.
Well, the lifestyle is just not for you.
The lifestyle isn't for you. Just don't do it. Or just stick with your partner. Stick with the voyeurs and exhibitionists.
Yeah,
stuff.
I mean, like, swapping is not for you.
Yeah. And honestly, it does not happen successfully very often. But it happened often at the Amour Hotel Social, Amour Getaways Hotel Social. So let's talk about our evening.
Yes, it was a small, intimate group.
Yeah, it was a smaller crowd than usual. And there were some sexy bodies in there.
There were. There's like 10 couples, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, it looked like there were about 10 couples. There were, what was there, one or two single females? Oh, no, there may be, maybe two single females.
Well, one, her partner came later.
Oh, one, her partner came later. So there were three single women. There were three single women. There was one yeah. white woman, blonde hair, beautiful, beautiful eyes that I've talked about before. I'm going to talk about her again on this episode. And then there was one, just this big, big booty chick. I mean, damn. Like Cherokee's ass almost. Like she was on that level. Oh, that's a porn star. Yes. Mm-hmm. You don't know Cherokee?
The name sounds familiar.
She has a fat ass, big ass, nice big ass. Like I have spent lots and lots of time watching her movies. And then there was another single girl there that was a good friend of ours. So I think so we actually experimented with, you know, putting some new lights up and shit, and that was cool. It led to a sexy environment. We already had the episode where we talked about the lights that we used. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we did the massage train, which was awesome. I never get tired of doing that shit. Y'all be telling people, like, how, like, the massage train is such an easy, like, icebreaker, because I'm like, yo, like, who doesn't want a massage? That's and you true. Get a massage by a group of folks. Mm-hmm. So you're a dude and you can literally like jump on the bed and be like, okay, I'm ready to get a massage by all the ladies. You can touch anything you want. Mm-hmm. You know what my rule is every time?
Just don't touch a booty hole.
Don't touch the booty hole. So everybody gets their fucking oil on, and I am notoriously known much, yes. for putting more than the fair share of oil in folks' hands because I want to see glistening bodies.
It ain't. All of that is not necessary.
All of that ain't necessary?
No.
So you don't think it's sexy when brown bodies are glistened up?
I think it is, but I don't think it's sexy to be sliding across the floor.
Ain't nobody sliding across the floor. Mm. But yeah, so the few people did the massage train. Actually, a lot of people did the massage train. Mm-hmm. And I love the massage train. I think the best part of the body I like to touch on a woman during the massage train is her thigh, like mm-hmm. when she lays on her stomach. Mm-hmm. That part is just so meaty, especially when the girl works out. Mm-hmm. Oh my God. And so I just play with that area. I just make sure to massage all that tension out. I know you have a favorite part of your of the body when you're massaging. Because you spend some time on that bed massaging folks.
Well, on a woman, probably her booty.
Yeah. Really? That is crazy. Yeah, her thighs, yeah. I mean, it's not crazy. It's just, mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say something a little bit more sensual.
Oh.
Like, oh, I like massaging the back of her neck or some shit.
I'm never up there.
Yeah, you really never are.
No.
I actually give it a little some attention just to show people I'm not as perverted as I sound like I am on this podcast sometimes. I'm like, I care about other parts of your body. Like, you just straight up, like, I like to massage the ass. Damn. Like, I like to massage the ass too. I was just trying to be a little bit more subtle with my shit.
And then for a guy, probably like his chest. Or his back.
Chest and back.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
You like to massage a nigga's nipples.
Not his nipples, his chest.
All right. What if it's hairy?
Mm-mm,
no,
mm-mm.
You don't like massaging mm-mm. hairy chest?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. No, I don't blame you. All right. So we did the massage train, and I don't know when the playing started, but I know that the single white blonde, who's very cool chick, and she is beautiful. And oh, that's right. Now I know what happened. You and me started playing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were playing besides her and a single guy.
Mm-hmm.
And me and her were looking at each other almost the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Almost the whole time. Like when I was hitting it from the back, because when I get you from the back, it's real intense.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing that while she was giving him head, and she was just looking at me while she was giving him head, and it was the sexiest shit because she was on slow motion. Like, she was doing that slow head shit. Mm. And I love that slow head shit, mm-hmm, because we can feel every millisecond of a slow blowjob. Okay.
Slow blowjob.
So when it starts slow and it's not like fucking balloon blowjob, but it's slow and it's sexy, and we had the red lights in there and it was just shining off of everybody, and it was super fucking sexy.
Yes.
So then I got at her later on after we were done,
mm-hmm,
and I just really wanted to give her an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So I just went down on her. I took my sweet ass time. And she screamed loud as fuck. Everybody heard that shit.
Where was I? Like, why did I just got up and left?
Well, I think we all just went to the common
area. Oh, you all went back in there.
Yeah, she went back in there, and then I went back in there and used the bathroom. And then she was just standing there, and I was like,
okay, that's what happened.
Yeah. I was like, I want a piece of this.
Mm-hmm.
But it was one of those weird situations where I didn't want to fuck her. I mean, I wanted to fuck her, but I also wanted to see her face,
mm-hmm,
when she came. Like, mm-hmm, I wanted to see it. So that was cool.
Yeah.
I really appreciated that. And then, I think, yeah, I was doing a lot of sauce swapping that night because, mm-hmm, I was getting ahead by a girl while her man was hitting it from the back,
mm-hmm,
and he was talking mad shit. It's like, yo, suck that dick. Yeah, you like that. You like that dick, don't you? And she was sucking it. She was stroking it. And I was just having a fucking ball. I really appreciated all of that shit. And then, yeah, everybody left. And then we were doing the cuddle thing.
Yeah, we had a cuddle puddle. And it was like just a big spoon, like big spoons lined up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I did.
Right.
I fell asleep. But it was because I was comfortable.
Yeah, I did not fall asleep. I was actually still drinking. Yeah. I was still getting turnt a little bit.
Yeah.
But people were just talking, man. We were all laying there under, mm-hmm, the covers.
Oh, because we started playing the card game.
Oh, that's right. We were playing the stupid card game with, mm-hmm, the green cards, mm-hmm, asking folks questions.
Yes.
And that was cool. And yeah, it was cool. We were just like laying down, talking, chatting. Laughing. Those are some of my favorite moments.
Mm-hmm.
Those are really some of my favorite moments. And then at some point we started playing again. Mr. and Mrs. Amor were playing, and another new couple that hadn't been to our events before, that had some very sexy Caribbean accents.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we started fucking.
We started fucking again? Yes, that's right. Mm-hmm, we did.
Mm-hmm.
And Mr. Amor likes to watch us in that position, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I think he likes that position because your titties just, they bounce. it's in like the cuddle lazy man fuck position. Mm-hmm. That's what I call it. Because, yeah, you know, nobody has to get up. Nobody has to be on top of nobody. But you get a lot of leverage.
Yeah.
So it's some, you get some deep, deep, deep action.
Mm-hmm.
And we get intense when we do that. So you were screaming and moaning and...
You were screaming. I don't. First of all, I don't scream.
Somebody was making a lot of noise.
But I was moaning and I was enjoying myself.
Yes. And it was very sexy.
Mm-hmm.
But we enjoyed ourselves, and it's about that time.
Yes. October cabin getaway is coming right up.
Folks who are interested in coming to one of Amor Getaways events, please go to her website, log into her membership page. A lot of sexy couples on there. We appreciate the love. You can sign up for a 3-month membership or longer, and you'll get a discount if you enter discount code Black and Kinky.
Black, the letter N, Kinky.
And also send us your emails at blackandgeekylifestyle@gmail.com. We'd be glad to hear your opinions, questions, et cetera, et cetera.
Y'all really can send us some of your sexy stories, too. Like, yeah. What are your sticky pages? I want to know what sexy fun our listeners are having.
I do, too. I know our listeners are doing some crazy shit out there. I know it. Okay. Let us know. the day after when you and your partner are talking, or even if you're a single male or a single female, I don't give a fuck, man. Send us a goddamn story and we will read it on the air. And if you want us to like shout out your membership page or whatever, you want people to find you because you want people to know that if they hang out with you, they can be part of the sexy story they just heard. Yo, holler at us, man. Hit us up.
Yes.
All right. We appreciate y'all tuning in. And until next time, peace out.
Bye. Black and kinky, black and kinky. Black and kinky lifestyle.